All right, we are live now. Thank you for sitting down to add to the growing hip-hop collection archive. So to start, we're going to start with your personal history.
Okay.
Talk a little bit about yourself. So to start with, could you please just sort of introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Matthew Argyle. I'm currently a senior at the College of William & Mary. My major right now is physics. My minor is biochemistry. I don't actually come from Williamsburg or the Newport News area. I'm actually from Alexandria, Virginia. And yeah, I've lived there my entire life, actually.
Okay. So Northern Virginia is where you hail from.
Yeah.
All right. Would you mind perhaps discussing a little bit your family history?
Family history. Well, I'm actually the first generation of my family to be born in America.
Mm-hmm.
My dad comes from the Philippines, and so does my mom.
Mm-hmm.
My dad from Manila, and my mom from some suburban area called Pangasinan.
Okay.
And yeah, that's my family history for the most part. They came here with my grandma and grandpa some years ago, very long time, I don't really remember. But yeah, that's when they came over.
Okay, so would you mind discussing a little bit about what it was like growing up in Northern Virginia?
In Northern Virginia, well, I come from Alexandria, as I said before. The only public high school there was actually T.C. Williams.
And what does TC stand for? I'm just curious.
TC? Actually, I'm not really sure. You know?
Okay, so.
Even though it might have, you know, a whole movie and everything about it, I really didn't know much about the history of the school other than that. TC Williams is kind of located in the outskirts of DC. You know, it's not in DC, obviously. It's in Alexandria, but, you know, we get. Some call it an inner city school.
Okay.
For some reason, it does get this reputation of being a thug school. Obviously, I'm not a thug.
Right.
It does get that reputation.
And why does it location or?
Well, actually, I think it probably comes from the fact that 60% of the population, the school population there, is actually African American.
Okay.
And. I'd say about 15% is Hispanics, maybe 20% considered white, and then the rest is kind of shuffled into the other.
Okay. So in terms of your involvement with hip-hop culture, was that shaped in any way by your high school growing up where you did?
Well, for me personally, I wouldn't say I really got into the real hip-hop culture until later on in my life. Earlier as a kid, you know, you kind of got the so-called bad parts of hip-hop. The kinds that are, the message is a bit more perverted than the original message. So it's, you get like a lot of stuff that seems kind of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Morally wrong? I don't know. You know, it's kind of a culture that promoted, you know, stealing, a luxurious lifestyle, stuff like that, misogyny. For me, that wasn't really my type of thing. But actually, to survive, you had to act like it was your kind of thing. So, that, I mean, that's kind of the bad taste of hip-hop that I had as growing up in that area. Obviously, there were things like B-Boys there, actually. Me, personally, I didn't really know them. There were a couple of them there. I do distinctly remember a memory of them asking me to be a part of the B-Boy crew. I didn't really know anything about it, and so I just kind of waved it off, and I didn't really know what they were talking about. I just kind of went around my school life, studying, etc.
So what was your first memory of hip-hop?
My first memory of hip-hop? Well, in retrospect, probably the music part. It's kind of the part that I guess most people are more familiar with in terms of hip-hop, especially for us, a generation growing up in the 90s. It's kind of the real elements of hip-hop were kind of dying down by that point. And really the music part just kind of stuck around.
So rap music was your first memory, or?
Oh yeah, I guess music? So. You could say that.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you listen to a lot of rap?
When I was younger, I wouldn't say I did. I've actually been more into electronic music.
Okay.
And that's where I first got my, I guess, foray into my own personal taste. And that was around middle school, high school. I guess rap kind of came in later on in my high school career, further on into college, and where I started to revisit old stuff that people listen to.
Okay, and then, well, by old stuff, what do you mean? I mean,
well, old stuff as in, you know, Afrika Mbata, you know, stuff like that. What's another one? I guess because of my electronic, you know.
So you like? So you were definitely on the electro-funk side of the
house.
Oh
yes, for sure, okay. For sure. I even went back to like Kraftwerk, where everything kind of like started. Got into that for a while.
Okay, so in terms of your family and friends, what's the interest there with hip-hop? Or is there?
Well, I don't actually think that they have any vested interest in hip-hop. I mean, they know that I b-boy, that I dance. They're interested in it. They support me as much as they can, really. They obviously don't want me to make it a career or anything, because they're still pushing me to go to like grad school or to do you know, like med school or something, which I of course want to do. It's not like they're forcing me, but for my family, I would say there really isn't that much of a connection to to hip hop. That's about it.
So let's see. So in terms of in terms of your friends, let's say previous to Smiles, were you surrounded by like-minded folks that were interested in hip hop, or what was that connection with your friends
prior to Smiles?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that I really did. I had some friends who I could talk to about it, but they weren't actually like near me locally, so it wasn't like I could talk to them every day. They went their separate ways after high school and stuff like that. In high school, though.
Yeah, so, yeah.
In high school, not really. I mean, most of the stuff that people listened to then was very, I guess, modern gangster rap stuff. You know, like Southern Snap Styles and stuff. And that wasn't my personal cup of tea. I had to act like I liked it.
Okay. Why did you have to act like it, that you liked it?
Well, high school, I considered it very conformist, and that's why I didn't really like high school that much. People usually say, you know, high school's the best time of your life, best years of your life. Me, personally, it really wasn't, because I had to be someone that I really wasn't. Electronic music was not actually that popular with the kids back then, you know. If you listen to electronic music around them, they'd probably make fun of you and stuff. And what are you listening to? Oh, this is so old, et cetera, stuff like that. And then, you know, coming to college, it's a completely different experience. Everybody's really open about what they want to do, what they like.
So how would you define hip-hop?
How would I define hip-hop? Well, I guess the most basic way to describe hip-hop, for me personally, would probably have to be the community aspect. Hip-hop has, you know, as everybody knows, the elements of hip-hop, as they say, the four, and then I guess fifth if you, you know, believe in the knowledge thing. That's what I do. But for me, hip-hop, I think, at its core, it's just a community that is being very passionate about something that they just like, whether it be DJing, you know, MCing, b-boying, whatever. The thing that they all share is that they have a passion, and hip hop for me is just a community that comes together to engage in these passions.
Has there been any particular experiences or salient experiences that led you to think about hip hop in terms of this idea of community?
Well, I guess it's just my own internal reflection on why I'm doing this. For me personally, I like to think about what I'm doing and how it defines me as a person. After much thought about it, I tried to figure out what exactly it was about hip hop that I liked. I mean, you have very like superficial things like, oh, I like this song, I like this art, I like this DJ, but that's like all of that is kind of, it comes from something, and I realized that it's simply passion. I really like it. It's not like, I guess, you know, like pop stars, how they become popular. People just kind of like them for no real reason, and there's no, I guess there's no depth to what they're experiencing. It's kind of like a temporary satisfaction. But I realized that hip-hop is much more permanent.
So in discussing or describing or thinking about this community aspect, pardon me, that you talk of in hip-hop, is there, does that in some way equate to a moral aspect as well, or?
You mean like, what do you mean? Like
a moral, like a moral code? Is there
a moral code?
Yeah.
I do believe there is a moral code in hip-hop. Going hand in hand with the community aspect, I think that respect for your peers, obviously, respect for an artist. They're putting their heart and soul into these, and this music that you dance to, and that you feel through your body, and just having that connection between you and the music, it's something that's, I guess, kind of sacred, you know? Which I guess this leads into another thing concerning the beef, but that's, yeah.
Okay, so is that this, well, how do you view, I mean, what are your personal views or opinions of hip-hop culture, what it means, what sort of makes, what its elements are, not even just the four or five elements, but just sort of what constitutes hip-hop vis-a-vis other forms of popular music culture like rock or country? I mean, do they have a similar thing, or is it different? I mean, how do you view those, these genres of American music or culture side by side, or can you compare them?
Well, I think comparing them is kind of like comparing apples and oranges. The thing is, even though they are apples and oranges and you can't really compare the two, you can still try. And so I would say that when I try to compare the two, I would say that hip-hop differs in, I guess, just its history, obviously. Its history is different. And from its history, it defines itself. I mean, it was primarily a youth movement in the Bronx. So I think that the spirit of young people kind of taking this culture and kind of expanding it, I think that same mindset is carried on and is unique, I guess, to hip-hop. I can't say that I know too much about hip-hop, for sure, because I was born in the 90s. I didn't really get into it until, like, you know, a couple of years ago, maybe. So that's just what it means for me, I guess.
Okay, well, how do you view yourself in terms of hip-hop history and culture?
Myself? That's a hard question. Myself. To be honest, I feel rather insignificant in the grand scheme of things. I think that hip-hop for me has become a big part of my life. how can I say this? Well, maybe ask the question again. Maybe I'll think about it more.
Okay, we'll come back to it. Start. Okay, so let's see. Before we move on to. Okay. We'll table that one. We'll come back to it. Now I want to talk a little bit about your involvement with Smiles, and then also discuss a little bit about hip hop culture on campus.
Okay.
First thing I guess is, what comes to mind when you hear the phrase hip hop at William and Mary?
Well, when I hear hip hop at William and Mary, I mean, obviously, it kind of seems like two things that don't actually mix together. Mm-hmm. I mean, you only need to really look at the demographics of the, or the historical demographics mm-hmm. of the college to kind of get that feeling. I mean, it was actually rather a homogenous mixture or a homogenous entity. It was mm-hmm. there was a lot of white people, honestly. Mm-hmm. And when you think about that in conjunction with hip-hop, you don't really get that kind of connection. Mm-hmm. In recent years, they have been diversifying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I guess it's kind of off on a tangent. I don't really agree with their diversification.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
You mean the bridge program and stuff like that?
Well, not the programs necessarily, mm-hmm. but how they're going about it.
Mm-hmm.
Diversity is much more than just having more people of color,
mm-hmm,
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, I guess, expanding people's horizons, mm-hmm, people mm-hmm. who have not actually been able to experience these diverse cultures and et cetera.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So unless you actually make an effort to
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
actually change how people think mm-hmm. about a culture or a group of people, then you're not actually diversifying. It's mm-hmm. it's only numbers.
Right. I mean, you can... It's... The if you're gonna use the same cookie cutter on everybody, it doesn't matter what color the cookie is,
yeah.
sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, is that okay? Okay, so I mean that, and perhaps that helps to explain why the idea of hip hop at William and Mary is not necessarily something that you imagine right away.
It definitely does not have a deep history of hip hop.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, I mean, and then we're talking 3.5 years, right? Okay, even having that at the outset, that the two are sort of polar opposites in many ways, what kind of hip-hop culture has existed or exists on campus?
Well, other than Smiles Crew,
mm-hmm.
the student hip-hop organization
mm-hmm.
was much more active than it is now,
mm-hmm.
prior to, I guess, Smiles Crew kind of being the hip-hop organization, mm-hmm. I suppose. But me, that was before my time, so I don't know if I can really say much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely there have been people interested in hip-hop on campus.
Mm-hmm.
DJs, graffiti artists,
mm-hmm.
things like that. But they've been kind of like a select few.
Mm-hmm. And are there any folks around right now? I mean, are there any graffiti artists, DJs?
I don't know if there are really any graffiti artists.
Mm-hmm.
There probably are. I can't say for sure mm-hmm. because I don't know everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are here, they haven't really made their presence that well
known.
As far as DJs, there are quite a few DJs. The only problem is that they don't really get, I guess, recognized as mm-hmm. a hip-hop DJ, per se, because they end up getting commissioned to do, like, a dance party or something.
Okay, and so it's not...
Yeah.
Okay. And anything on the radio?
The radio. I can't say I listen to the radio that often.
Okay. I meant the college radio, but...
Yeah.
Okay, so that... The college radio itself is not much of a force on campus.
I would say it's a force for a select group of people, but as far as hip-hop goes,
okay.
I'm not sure if it has that much impact on
okay.
the community.
So, going back to smiles, actually, let's talk about that. So would you mind just describing what Smiles is, sort of history of Smiles as you know it, and also how you got involved with Smiles, and talk about your sort of position within the group now.
Position, okay. Well, as far as history of Smiles goes, dates back to 2008. I believe their constitution was written even in September of 2008. As far as I know, the people that founded the club, I believe it was Ben Yu, Nolan Chow, Jake Van Perry's, and Mark Nauta. They were just really a group of friends who wanted to b-boy. And if they were going to b-boy anyway, they might as well, you know, become a club. And it's kind of the birth of the crew. They are an intimidating bunch, I would say. They're very hard to approach. Because, you know, they were legitimately just interested in this thing, and so, like, my freshman year, I never actually went to any of the b-boy meetings or sessions and such. Partly because I was too scared, but also partly because I was a freshman and I wanted to do, you know, other things and see what else was around. It wasn't until my sophomore year that I joined on the recommendation of my now girlfriend, Alice. Alice, yeah. So that was the first time I went, sophomore year. It was there that I realized they're not actually that intimidating.
Right.
They're good people. And they were only intimidating because, you know, one, it's embarrassing to dance when you've never danced before. And two, they look so serious when they're sessioning. They want to get better. And so, like, when you see them, you just kind of, like, you can go into a corner and do my thing. I don't really know what I'm doing.
That
was my sophomore year. And as I stayed with the group through my sophomore and junior years, I got much closer to the founding members. And it was then that I kind of realized, like, what this was. It was B-Boy Club, but I think there's an important distinction to be made between B-Boy Club and Smiles Crew. Smiles Crew is, just because you're in B-Boy Club doesn't necessarily mean you're in Smiles Crew. You can come to B-Boy Club and session and do whatever you want, but to get into Smiles Crew, it kind of takes a group acceptance that you are not just here, you know, for superficial reasons. You're here because you want to dance. And I guess that whole mindset is what I'm bringing you here into my senior year as a co-captain with Alice. And I want to stress that for people that it's not an easy thing to dance, to b-boy. A lot of people, you know, they just want to start right away and they want to spin on their head and they just want to do all these things and just look cool. But it's not about, you know, looking cool. Of course, looking cool is an aspect, you know. You got to have style and flavor. But if you're just doing this to look cool, you're not really b-boying. I guess that's kind of it. What was the other question?
What are some, would you mind talking a little bit about some of the shows that Smiles has put on?
Oh, sure.
And also, real quickly, will you say what the Smiles acronym is?
Oh, Smiles. Well, Smiles stands for Style is Mastery, Instantly Leaves Everyone Speechless.
Okay.
And when I first heard it, I thought it was really clever. It kind of, it had meaning behind it, but it also was very, I guess, inviting. Even though the founding members wasn't really all smiles. They weren't really all smiles when they came in. They were definitely very, very strict, but very good people.
Okay, just wanted to get that on record. Talking a little bit about some of the shows and events that Smiles Crew has hosted and performed in the past, and also perhaps, and then I guess maybe lead us up to what some of the thoughts are for this year as well.
This year, okay. Well, actually, last year was the first time we've ever had a show that was just for us. Prior to that, we did, you know, we did performances for other groups. Syndicate, another dance crew on campus, invited us, or used to invite us to perform like one dance in their show. And, you know, we just do it. Similarly, for other dance organizations on campus, we did it for like Point Blank. We did it for actually a culture show for Asian organizations. We ended up doing a piece for them. And so there's kind of like small stuff like that that we did prior to Origins last year. Origins last year was actually quite the experience, I guess, because being the first time that we've ever done something like this, you know, we had high expectations for ourselves, partly coming, stemming from the reason why we wanted to do Origins. After Origins...
Why did you want to do Origins?
Why?
Oh. Yeah, the reasons.
Well, actually, so Syndicate, this is...
Yeah, you want to put the... describe what Syndicate is, and then perhaps talk a little bit about the beef.
Sure. Well, Syndicate is a dance organization on campus, a hip-hop dance organization, and they put on a performance. I don't believe it's... semesterly. I think it is. I think it's once a semester. Not sure if it's annually, I mean, but whatever. Syndicate. We had a long history with them, I guess. And this stems back from the founding fathers, I suppose. And what basically happened between Syndicate and us as Smiles was that we kind of had a conflict of what we believed we were doing. For me personally, how I interpreted the beef, at least, between us, Smiles Crew and Syndicate, was that Syndicate was kind of doing it for the reasons, they were doing hip-hop dance for the reasons that I explained earlier, that they were just doing it to be cool, I guess. And they weren't really doing it because they wanted to get better at dancing or anything like that. And because of that, it kind of really irked me, I suppose, because there was this dance organization on campus that was proclaiming itself to be the hip-hop dance organization on campus that everybody knew. And they would do these dances, they'd perform, and everybody would love it, you know. Because, as I said before, there's not a lot of hip-hop history on this campus, so when people see it, they think, oh, that's good, that's nice, you know. But to be honest, every time we watch a show, we're dancers too. We realize what we're watching. We see what they're doing, and we're actually not that impressed. So when they parade around and, you know, act like, you know, oh man, we're so good, it's kind of really, it really gets at you because, you know, you invest yourself in B-boy, into hip-hop, and then you have, I guess, fakes running around using the hip-hop name and kind of disgracing what it really means. I mean, they don't perform anywhere else, they don't compete, they don't do anything else. They just dance on campus, and then after a show's done, they collect all the money that people raked in and then buy new shirts or something. So, you know, it was really annoying. And that's kind of why I guess that is the reason why Origin started. Because we wanted to show people what real hip-hop dancing is. How it really is outside of William & Mary in places that do have a richer hip-hop history. So we invited crews from all over the East Coast. They performed. People loved it.
How many crews accepted the invitation and came?
I can't remember the exact number. I believe it's somewhere between 12 and 14.
I mean, that's a lot, yeah.
Actually, most of these people we invited after we watched a huge event. I forget the name. It's something like I can't remember. It was a big dance event in DC. They all came in. It was a competition, actually. And from them, actually, based on what we saw, we actually tried to invite them over to come show the campus what it was like. Because we wanted to, you know, get the cream of the crop, the best of the best, to show the campus what real hip-hop dancing is. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Where were the crews coming from? Were they college crews? Were they just regional crew? I mean, what was...
Well, actually, it was a mix of the two. A lot of them were college crews. There were crews from, like, Virginia Tech, UVA, like, ODU, VCU, in the area. And then there were other crews that were regional crews, crews that came from, like, D.C., and they none of them were in college anymore. They had all graduated, so they came down and performed some stuff. Yeah, so it was a good mix.
What was the vibe like between the college crews and the, I guess, non-college crews?
Well, I would say that the college crews are definitely much more comfortable with each other because they are the same age range. So it is easier to talk to someone who's around your age. And, you know, when people are older than you and they're better at dancing, you kind of there's a level of respect that you kind of uphold, and it's like I guess it's kind of stupid that we do it because it prevents you from really, like, talking to someone that you want to. But, you know, I guess it's just human instinct. You kind of bow down to authority, I suppose. You're just more nervous around them, stuff like that.
But in terms of, though, I mean, even if you're nervous, it sounds like it was always respectful for everybody.
Yeah. There definitely was no... There definitely was no beef at that that event. They definitely, everybody was respectful to each other. We all, I guess there was this a mutual understanding that we were here to dance, and we all like dancing. I guess everybody just kind of assumed that's why we were here. I mean, most of these crews came without any compensation, you know. So when these crews come down just to perform something without any, you know, any type of compensation, then you know that they're here to to dance, to spread the culture.
And so you mentioned that you got the idea from seeing a competition in D.C.
Right.
Were you able to attend it live, or did you see it on the internet, or?
No, we went live. There was, I believe it was me, Alice, and a member named Steven. We were the ones that were able to make it out to the event. Yeah, it was just a big competition. I don't know, I'm not sure if there was, if it was like a qualifier or something. I do believe that it was just an event in itself.
And so then, is there a plan or an Origins 2 in the works?
Yes, there is actually. This semester, this fall semester, we are planning to do Origins 2. And Origins 2 is actually expanding our... I guess the scope of what we want to do. Last year was just a showcase, and afterwards there was an open cypher. At the cypher, at the room that we picked out, everybody just kind of danced together, got in a circle, threw down, battled each other. It was good vibes all around. But this year we want to continue on the aspect of educating the community, I guess, around here about hip-hop. And so as far as the dance community goes, we're giving the community workshops the next day. So, well, I guess hence the name Origins 2 SCW, showcase, cypher, workshop.
And in terms of being able to put this event on, how has it been working with the sort of the institutional arm or the administrative arm of the college?
Well, as far as throwing the event, it is, it's easy, I suppose. You just, you know, go through paperwork, jump through some hoops, things get done. I guess the hardest part of working with administration is budgeting. It wasn't only up until last year that we actually had a budget as B-Boy and were actually being funded by the school. So, as the hard part is convincing a panel of people that have no prior knowledge about what this is, what origin, what a showcase is at all, or what a cypher is, and explaining to them that we need money to throw this event.
Yeah, so walk me through the sort of formal process. Like, so, I mean, you actually have to go in front of a panel of folks that are going to judge your presentation? I mean, how does that work?
Well, actually, we submit a paper form with a requested amount that we would like. And afterwards, they respond after they've gone through every club and allotted some sort of money to each club. They get back to you with how much of that money they've given to you.
Okay.
So it's never the full money that you request. So we always request over what we need.
Do they, between everyone that requests money, do they chop it up equally or no?
Definitely not equally.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I think that those that have a history, a more of a history, and are able to explain why these fees are necessary, do have an easier time. For us, it was the first time, you know, and so the trying to explain why we need this money is kind of hard. And the only reason why we had to explain was because we get the amount that they've allotted to us, and we say, well, we actually want more than that, so we go to an appeal, and we appeal the how much they've given us, and try to argue our case.
Okay, so I mean, what do you feel like the relationship is between sort of Smiles Crew and you know, the sort of club administration or the college in an administrative or official capacity?
Well, between the school and Smiles Crew, I do think that relations are getting better.
So there was tension before that, or?
Well, I guess so, because before the whole budget thing, Smiles Crew was its own entity, and people just kind of went. There was no fees, anything, because you just had to dance. You couldn't charge dues to dance. When we finally got into contact with the school, of course, they would be a little bit skeptical.
Kina's going to have to clear out soon.
Okay.
We're actually setting this up for the career fair tomorrow.
Okay.
Sure. Should
Sorry
we just move that?
Like this,
no problem. Yeah.
I think another one's working.
So back to the, we were talking about whether or not there was tension or just the relationship between Smiles Crew and the powers that be at the college.
Well, I guess as I was saying with the budget and explaining to people, really that's the hardest part, I guess, appealing. I don't know how to explain it, I guess. It's just, it's like trying to introduce something completely new, completely different from anything they've ever done. Because actually last year, or not last year, the year before that, we threw a jam, Tribal Breaks. And financial issues with Tribal Breaks were a big deal. In fact, we had to take money out of pocket.
Oh, wow.
To fund some things, especially, and actually, refunding money was a problem as well, because the school is very specific on how they want their refunding done. When things aren't done the same, you're just not going to get the money. So, that's how that goes. I mean, do you have any particular questions?
In terms of, I'm just curious about, especially bringing up that it's basically trying to explain a whole culture to folks. Was it in your experience or that these folks just basically had like no clue at all about what hip hop was, or they had some unfounded thoughts on what it was, or?
Yeah, I do think. I mean, when you talk to them and you kind of. To say, I guess when you say, oh, you introduce yourself, you're like, well, B-Boy Club. Like, what's a B-Boy? And they're like, oh, it's Breakdancing Club. Oh, okay, I understand now.
I'm curious, what was the sort of demo, what did the panel look like? I mean,
panel?
In terms of, you know, demographics.
It was just It was a student elected body.
It was a student elected body.
And I think there were some administration in there as well.
So even within the student body, there it was just like, we don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So this then spirals back nicely to the question, like, how popular is hip hop as a cultural, as a popular cultural form on campus?
I think that in recent years it's mm-hmm. seen a resurgence, I mm-hmm. suppose. Mm-hmm. People do, tend to understand the history more, mm-hmm. and as such they understand what hip hop is more about.
Mm-hmm.
I think still, though, the student body doesn't quite completely understand.
Okay.
It's kind of something that's hard to put on paper
mm-hmm.
and really to explain to someone without actually being a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So unless you've actually partaken in mm-hmm. some form of hip-hop activity,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to really understand the feeling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, what is, I guess, the connection of B-Boy Club and Smiles crew? What sort of relationships or connections do you have with hip-hop organizations outside of the campus? I mean, are you still maintaining ties with other crews from outside, or?
Oh, yes, for sure. I mean, the thing with, I guess, hip-hop in general on this, in this area,
mm-hmm.
I guess Hampton Roads,
mm-hmm.
including North Virginia and, I guess, other mm-hmm. close locations, is that you tend to see the same people.
Okay, so it's a really close-knit community?
Yeah, it is. And I think one of the things that the dance community here can mm-hmm. particularly boast is that they are so close-knit,
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
they support each other so much. I mean, when we first threw Origins, I mean, no one knew what we were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when we invited them over, you know, they were like, oh, yeah, sure, let's mm-hmm. let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just the reception, I guess, to us trying to do this kind of
mm-hmm.
thing
mm-hmm.
was met with such positive reaction that I was actually quite surprised
mm-hmm.
that people were
mm-hmm.
so willing to do this kind of thing. As far as the crew keeping ties with people, we do actually talk to them quite a bit.
Mm-hmm,
I
mean, mm-hmm.
not just as a crew, but individually.
Mm-hmm,
during breaks and people go back to their respective hometowns,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
it just so happens that a lot of people go back to North Virginia.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. We go back, we session together, dance together, you know, hang out. So.
Okay, so... there's a lot of, well, I guess cross-fertilization has taken place.
What do you mean?
Between other crews getting together and influencing the way that, like, you get together on breaks, dance together, and then an exchange of ideas that then go back and then impact separately the B-Boy Club, the B-Boy crews.
Yeah, I do think so. I guess just from sessioning together, you do learn things
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
From each other.
Mm-hmm.
And actually the people who you dance with actually determines a lot of how you dance.
Mm-hmm.
The people around you influence what you do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's why I guess crews have such distinctive styles, and you know, oh, this is a crew, and they, oh, look, I can see similar things in their dance, but they're each distinct.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That kind of thing, owes to, I guess, your own personal experience, and then also the experience that you've shared with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it is kind of this cross-fertilization mm-hmm. thing. When we go back to dance in North Virginia, you know, the things that we learned there, we take back to our crew. The things they learned there,
mm-hmm.
they take back to their crew.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this past year, one of our members, Nicole, had gone overseas
mm-hmm.
to Europe,
mm-hmm.
and there she danced.
Oh, okay.
And when she came back, she was a much different dancer.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna actually you completely anticipated my next question was, especially for you, are you a different dancer with if you dance with a different group of people than you are necessarily when you're dancing with Smosh Crew?
I think that my essence, if that's even graspable, that concept, stays the same. I'm still dancing as me. Maybe it might change. If I am with a crew and they're more, I guess, you know, power move oriented, they like to spin a lot, it might influence how I dance around them because I want to work on it as well. But I think that in general, how I dance is just me.
Okay. So, want to talk, try to dig in here. So what exactly is going on in terms of hip-hop culture in the Hampton Roads area?
In terms of hip-hop culture? As far as b-boying goes, I still do think it's rather niche. I don't know if I can speak for other aspects of hip-hop as well. You know, it does seem to be underground. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but it seems that way. And whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I think that's up for debate.
So we've got, I mean, you mentioned, so like ODU has something going on. Does Hampton have anything going on that you know
as of? As an area?
Well, yeah, as an area, or even, I mean, does Hampton University have a b-boy crew that you know of? I mean,
They might. I'm not really familiar, but yeah, I can't really...
And did anyone come from VCU or anything?
Oh yeah, they did. Yeah.
Okay, so so they've got that going on. Anybody from like Norfolk State or? Or Virginia State?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay, so yeah, just trying to get a sense of. I mean, how would you compare Williamsburg and hip hop versus, let's say, like Richmond, Hampton, Norfolk? Newport News, Virginia Beach, you know, like just tracing out the whole Hampton Roads area.
I think that Williamsburg is a little bit more different. I guess it's much different than the other places. Places like Richmond and Virginia Beach, they're heavily populated areas. And they do have, like, you know, an inner city, I suppose. For us, I don't think really Williamsburg has that. It has something that resembles it, I suppose, but nothing. I don't think that Williamsburg is, for one, it's not as populated as the other places. And also, this is a popular retirement area. So we get a lot of, I guess, old people that just want to settle down. And it ends up being a very quiet place. Not exactly conducive to hip hop.
No. Actually, this is a good one. One that we'll sort of spiral. We'll go back before because we're closing in on 10. But going back not only to the question I asked earlier that we sort of tabled or get back to about viewing yourself in terms of hip hop history and culture, but I want to sort of amend that or stick a little addendum onto it and ask. How do you view yourself, not only in terms of the hip-hop history and culture, but to be a little more specific, especially in terms of hip-hop's history, in terms of sort of race, place, and also the socioeconomic issues that are that are very much a part of where hip-hop comes from and how the culture was formed. So how do you see yourself navigating within that sort of the baggage of that culture and history, and has it ever been an issue in terms of meeting folks that find out that, oh, you think you're a b-boy, or you're into being b-boy, or you know what I mean, or you call yourself a b-boy?
Well, let's see. It's a, I guess it's a rather complex answer to this question. Me personally, I've never actually run into any problems. I mean, I guess that lends itself to this really not being a hip-hop-y area. I do think that for as far as my place in hip-hop, I can't really say that I make a significant impact, at least. I do think I'm a part of it. I do identify with it. I guess primarily because it is a movement that is defined by its youth,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it's constantly evolving. It's not the same hip-hop that it was
mm-hmm.
years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that I'm helping a little bit in that
mm-hmm.
regard and redefining what it means for this generation.
Mm-hmm. And redefining it how? Like,
well, redefining it in the sense that the hip-hop that was relevant, I guess, back then
mm-hmm.
was very politically charged.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of political messages
mm-hmm.
that are not really, I guess, as relevant now as
mm-hmm.
they were
mm-hmm.
back in the
mm-hmm.
day. I do think that some of the problems that were around then are still around now,
mm-hmm.
which is rather unfortunate, but I think that as the young people of this generation
mm-hmm.
of hip-hop, it's up to us to decide what exactly is important to us
mm-hmm.
as a generation
mm-hmm.
and to decide where we should go with hip-hop. What's important to us, basically.
Mm.
For me personally, I think it's the community.
Mm.
Just having this close-knit community is,
mm-hmm.
in many ways, it benefits everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we concentrate on this community aspect, that we'll become better as,
mm-hmm.
as people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, they actually get kind of defensive about
mm-hmm.
where the, I guess, b-boying is actually going.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't actually like the Care Bear attitude.
Yeah, well, that's a, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, a question that I neglected to ask
mm-hmm.
Alice, but I'm glad you sort of spurred me on that and that I want to ask when I lock down some more. Talk to some more Smosh crew, but yeah, so this idea that b-boying is this one thing,
right.
or that, I mean, and that means that you only, you know,
yeah.
that there are X amount of songs that you can dance to,
yeah.
and that's it, like, right?
Yeah.
And you can't bring in other stuff, so, I mean, what's your view on that in terms of, in terms of hip-hop and authenticity?
As far as authenticity goes,
mm-hmm.
I think that it's actually, people who believe that are...
Mm-hmm.
being very hypocritical.
Mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
mean, if you look at b-boying, it's the, at its core, the most original part of b-boying is the footwork, and
mm-hmm.
that is things you do on your hand and your feet, you know,
mm-hmm.
right on the floor. And this is something that's unique to b-boying. Everything else, though, I mean, handstands,
mm-hmm.
flares,
mm-hmm.
these are like, you know, gymnastics, like back handsprings,
mm-hmm.
all these things people do, flips, these are borrowed from
mm-hmm.
other places. So to say that, you know, oh, well, b-boying is this thing and only this thing, it's kind of, you're kind of contradicting of what b-boying is. It's an amalgamation of dances.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's, you know, there's a bit of salsa in there,
mm-hmm.
even tap dance. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes
mm-hmm.
into people's dances. And I think that when you limit yourself in that fashion, you cease to really become a true b-boy.
Mm-hmm,
you know? As I was saying before, with people who dislike the Care Bear attitude
mm-hmm.
and being all nice and everything, I think that while it is, I guess, doesn't really keep in theme with how it b-boy originated,
mm-hmm.
I think that it is us as a new generation to redefine that, because we're not, you know, underprivileged
mm-hmm.
you know, youth from the Bronx.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm from Alexandria, Virginia, which is probably one of the most expensive places to
mm-hmm.
live in the United States.
You're one of the wealthiest counties.
Yeah.
One of them, yeah.
So I can't identify in that fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So how I define hip-hop is obviously going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think conflict is actually sometimes good.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to keep things interesting, and it gets the ball rolling
mm-hmm.
how we want to decide where to go.
Okay, so actually we'll do just sort of a quick wrap-up question.
Sure.
Okay, so perhaps medicine, grad school,
mm-hmm.
In sort of that sort of professional track.
Yeah.
Where do you think hip-hop's place is going to be in your life going forward?
Well, I think that it's actually going to be... I think that that hip hop is probably going to. It's hard to say. How do I say this? It's going to be the same for me.
Mm.
It's going to evolve, but its place as an aspect of my person will be the same.
Mm.
No matter where I go, I really do want to take this with me. There's actually a b-boy called B-Boy Zeshin, and I kind of look up to him. Because he's actually in med school right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to University of Texas or something,
mm-hmm.
doing med school there. But despite all that, he travels all over.
Mm-hmm.
B-Boys, you know, shows
mm-hmm.
the culture to everybody
mm-hmm.
around the world. And I think that while I maybe won't be doing something similar to that, I do think that in how he treats it as an aspect of his person,
mm-hmm.
I do respect it, and I kind of want to emulate that at least.
Okay, well, Matt, I mean, that's all my stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks. Is there anything that you want to add right now, or?
Something I want to add?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess not really. I mean, b-boying is b-boying.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you very much.